I read it here.
Yeah.
You cannot pray too much. We prayed for a few minutes and we're still going to pray one more time.
Amen.
I want you to talk to the Lord tonight. Tell the Lord this will not just be another meeting. Ask him that definite things will be spoken pertaining to your life. You. We thank you for that which you are doing in our days. We thank you for the privilege of being numbered amongst the elect at this time. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your love that found us. We thank you that we that were not a people have been made the people of God. We thank you for Jesus that died on the cross. And when he said it is finished, all that purchased our redemption, our perfection was finished on the cross of Calvary. Father, we come tonight looking to you. We confess our expectation is of you. Our trust is in you. Speak, Lord. Let your word come unto us unfettered. We come against the spirit of weariness, of tiredness. We receive invigoration. We receive a quickening by the Spirit of God. Father, we bless your name. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's a meeting of youths. You are young people. So your hallelujah should be louder than my own. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Amen. This weekend, starting from today till Sunday, we are going to be looking at the faithful priesthood. The faithful priesthood. There's a priesthood that is upon the earth at this time that will fulfill the purpose of God. There is an election upon our lives at this time that God is perfecting. And in the course of the ministration, I want you to see it as a personal word from the Lord. It is not a teaching to give you information. Praise the Lord. Even though it will give you a lot of information, it is a ministration to quicken your pace, to open your eyes, to cause you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. That which he is doing in your life, where he is taking you, so that your life will not be the same. Praise ye the Lord. There were a few songs that we sang this evening. Usually when I come into a meeting, I begin to pay attention to the songs. Because the songs that come are like a prophecy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they confirm that which the Lord desires to do in the course of the meeting and in the lives of those who are there attending. Hallelujah. One of the words that came said, in your light, we see light. That is, the light we have is the light that comes from the Word of God, that comes from the mind of God. Any other light, well, maybe there, but we're not interested. And Psalm 1 is a relevant place in the scriptures. It says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We live in ungodly times. We live in times when men scorn at the knowledge of God, at the word of God, but we will not join them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we will walk in the light of God's word, God's counsel, God's will. It is in the light of his word that we have light, we have instruction, we have life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now it's interesting because the theme is the faithful priesthood, but for tonight, we are actually looking at the word, living in the light of prophecy. So you will agree that the two go together. Or are you not agree with that?
Yes, sir.
In your light, we see light. And living in the light of prophecy. And I want to assure us that the times in which we live are exciting times. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are exciting if you see things in the light of that which God is doing. But if you don't see it as God sees it, then they will be confusing times. Because when you look around as you watch the news, every night what you see is bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. In Britain, they have their challenges. In the US, you have impeachment. You know, all manners of things, floods, disasters here and there. And that is the reason why Habakkuk was able to say, God, why do you show me iniquity? Why do I see problems here, see problems there, and so on? And then he made a conclusion. He said, I will stand upon my watch and see what he will say to me. The idea is, if you are not seeing as God sees, what you will see will be iniquity, calamity. And I'm not talking about even for those who are just watching on the news. There are many lives that their experiences are experiences characterized by calamity, confusion, and the negative. Praise the Lord. But as he sat on his watch, the word came, write the vision, make it plain that he may run that race. Hallelujah. One of the things we're going to be doing this weekend is looking at, you know, the vision. What is God doing? Is there any hope for the earth? Is there any hope for the world? You know, will things get better? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, two things come from the book of Habakkuk. Like we said, living in the light of prophecy is what we're looking at this evening. Somewhere in Habakkuk, the first instruction that comes is, the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk 2, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? When you look around and you see calamity, you see floods, you see disasters, and so on, what does the word of God say? Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the things we need to take on board is the just shall live by what God says, not by what he sees. Living in the light of God's word. Now, I'll take a second prophecy we gave in one of the songs because it gives instruction, it gives light. Can we remember that a few minutes ago we sang the song, Great is the Lord,
and greatly to be praised. Did we sing the song?
Yes.
Do you know what that means? Okay, let us go to Psalm 48 where you find it, and then we will look at it, because it is a prophecy to encourage our hearts that even though there might be calamities, difficulties around, there is a work that God is doing, and you are the means of that work. Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Where? In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. What does that mean? Because a lot of times we sing, we enjoy, we dance, and so on. But there is a prophecy there. What is this saying? You are the city of the great king. You are Mount Zion. And in your life, in that which God will do in your life, the name of God will be praised.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
You are the city of God. You are Mount Zion. Hallelujah. And God will be great in your life.
Amen.
By His greatness, the name of God will be greatly praised.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at it again from the little explanation I have made. Great is the Lord. Where? In the city of our God. Greatly to be praised. Where? In the city of our God. Who is the city of God? You. So God is saying, I will do great things in your life. The amen has to be louder than that. Unless you don't believe what I am saying. I am not come here to entertain you. I have come here to open your eyes to the reality of the things God wants to do in your life. God says, I will be great.
Yes.
Where? In your life. Not the next person beside you. In whose life? In my life. God will be great. In my life. God will be greatly praised. Hallelujah. Was I the one who gave you the song? Did I instruct you to sing it? So who prompted it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, He will be greatly praised in your life. Now, verse 2 says, beautiful for situation. But what it really means is beautiful in elevation.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? You will be beautiful when you are promoted. You will glorify God when He lifts you up. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Is that true?
Yes.
You are the salt of the earth. Now, does light cause confusion?
No.
Does salt make bitter?
No.
Salt makes sweet. Salt results from decay. So, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world.
Amen.
Now, what we are going to be looking at largely this weekend will be prophetic. You know, the Bible says various ministries are instituted in the body. Are you aware of that? You have the apostle, you have the prophet, you have the teacher, the evangelist, the shepherd. This weekend will be a prophetic thrust.
Amen.
And it will be specific to us individually.
Amen.
The words that are coming, like I said, I did not come here to entertain. Do you know far away I came from?
Yes.
And God saw you.
Amen.
Let me begin that which we are going to pass across by going to the book of Romans 8.
Romans 8. We'll start by looking at Romans 8:1. Living in the light of prophecy. What are we saying? What we are saying is God, who is great and greatly to be praised, sat down for convenience a few thousands of years ago and said, in the process of the evolution of the earth, the development of the earth, there will be a place called Winnipeg. In the year 2019, there will be a few people gathered there. When they gather there, I will gather them for my purposes on the earth. So what I am saying is, you are not here by accident. You are not here even by your desire. You know, you woke up one day, somebody walked up to you and told you, do you know there's a place called Winnipeg? Do you know there's a university called Manitoba? You will go to that school, and you thought it was a brilliant idea coming from you. I want to disappoint you. No, it was not your idea. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Whose idea was it? The God of heaven and earth, the God who was, who is, and shall be, in his plan for the earth at this time, chose you. And may I inform you, you might look at your father, look at your mother, and say, oh, my parents are so loving, they decided to give birth to me. It wasn't your parents' idea. Praise the Lord. Daddy, why did you people decide to give birth to me when you did? I was reflecting a few minutes ago and reminding myself when we got married. My wife is the one seated there. We have three children. One of them will be joining you before too long, by the grace of God. And his coming to the earth was not our idea. I can assure you of that one. Why is that so? The eldest we have, I think he's about 33 now, Toby. The next one is 31. So if we have one that is coming to join you now, then you know that there is a big gap. It was when the number two was 14 that my wife said, ah, it looks like it has happened. There is another one coming. Praise the Lord. So when he came, we named him Oluwalonimi. What that means is, God is the one who owns me. I am God's idea, not man's idea. He will join you in the next few weeks.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I am trying to tell you, you are not your parents' idea. It was God's idea that you be born. Praise the Lord. And you were born for his glory. That place we read in Psalm 48 says, the Lord will be great in your life. I want an amen.
Amen.
He will be greatly placed, praised.
Amen.
Where? In the city of our God. In the mountain. Do you know? You don't use terms like mountain for things that are commonplace. You're not a commonplace person. God has not called you to be a commonplace person. God calls you what? A mountain. He says, beautiful. You know, you look around, you see some beautiful birds. You see some beautiful flowers. And we read, is your life to be compared to the life of a beautiful flower or a beautiful bird? Says, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, the solution to the problems of the earth. As you move around, you carry his glory, you carry his presence, you carry his power,
You are not to be contempt. You are not to be pushed aside. It's not about pride. No, it's not about pride. It's about self-worth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't believe anywhere I go, I can be dismissed. I mean, come on for road. No, I don't belong to that class. Amen. The glory of God is upon my life.
Amen.
Anywhere I go, light follows me.
Amen.
Goodness follows me.
Amen.
Beauty follows me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what God is doing in your life. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Now, I said we should go to Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You know, some people say, there's no condemnation to anybody who is in Christ Jesus. I say, no, that's not the complete picture. Yes, it is the beginning. No condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. But there is an attachment.
Yeah.
What is that attachment? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, living in the light of prophecy. This is a prophecy. Every word, you know, the word of God illuminated.
Tonight, we will look at a few scriptures that speak to who you are and what you should be, what you should do. I am not condemned.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Condemnation is not upon my life. Why? I do not live after the flesh. I do not walk after the flesh. I allow the Holy Spirit to guide me.
But actually, the place I'm going there in Romans 8 is that which speaks of your election. And then the end of that election in your life. Reading from verse 28, Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the evil. Is that what it says?
No.
For what?
For good.
For good. To who?
Amen.
Do you love God?
Yes.
If you love him, then pray that your love for him may increase.
Amen.
More and more. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Then 29, to confirm what I had said earlier on. For whom he did foreknow, he foreknew you.
Yeah.
He knew you. He knew about your being here tonight. He knew about your being here at this time. Those he foreknew, he did predestinate. What is the predestination? To be conformed to the image of his son. Hallelujah. There is a destiny. There is a goal. The goal is that you be conformed to be like Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, do you think God will be satisfied if you are anything less than Christ? What is the goal? Full conformation. Total conformation. How do you think it will be if everybody here were to be fully developed to be like Christ and released into the world? How glorious will it be? Brethren, there must be a determination not to settle for anything less.
Yeah.
Lord, until I am formed, until I am transformed to be totally and fully like you, I will not be satisfied.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the things the Lord laid upon my heart as I was coming is to be found in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. We won't go there yet, but you know, on your own, maybe let me give this advice between now and tomorrow. I will advise read the four chapters in Malachi 1, 2, 3, 4. On your own, study them. They are a study in transition. Transition. Because
The Lord has been speaking that there is a transition coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The end of the dispensation of grace is in view. Praise the Lord. And another dispensation is coming called the dispensation of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The rulership. Now, let me put it this way. When Peter and the others were around, they thought the kingdom age was to come. That was why they were all positioning themselves. And Jesus, we won't compete with you. You are number one. You stay in front. But me and my brother, you will be governor. Then I will be deputy governor, first deputy governor. And my brother will be second deputy governor. And then the others, then find your place. At least if I am on the right, my brother is on the left. Whatever I miss on the right, my brother will get. And all of us will be having a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. The early apostles who followed Jesus thought the kingdom age was to come at that time. That was why Peter and the others were disappointed. After Jesus died, they thought he was going to be here, he was going to rule, he would drive away all these Romans, and would be powerful. When we walk on the road, they'll be blowing sirens, and everybody will be screaming and jumping and afraid. But I warned him, you know Peter warned him. You don't know that Peter warned Jesus he should not go and kill himself. He kept talking about wanting to die, he wants to go and die. What is wrong with you? You should be positive. You should have faith. Why do you want to go and die? You know, let's stay here, drive away these Romans and rule. But you keep saying you want to die, then you will be buried, and then on the third day you will resurrect. Have you ever seen anybody resurrect before? Who is talking about resurrection? Let's talk about life now. Praise the Lord. Did he understand what was going on? He did not understand. One of the prayers that we'll be praying is, Lord, grant me understanding. Let me have the right perspective. Let me see as you see. Let me understand. Let my heart be quickened. Grant me hearing ears. Let me hear the heartbeat of heaven. In the midst of the noise that is going on, let there be faith to see you at work. You know, like I mentioned, right, the vision. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by the declared plan of God. The declared word of God. Faith has been bastardized. Faith is for getting the latest shoe. I like good shoes. That's not the issue. Getting the latest shoes, getting the latest cloth, and so on. No. Faith is about pleasing God.
Hallelujah.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to see what God is doing. But as you walk with God, as you walk by faith, the Holy Spirit will be whispering into your ears that which the Father is doing at this time. We will know it. We will not be blind to it. In the name of Jesus. So we began by saying all things work together. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I rejoice in his call. For whom he did foreknow, he foreknew some people. He did predestinate them to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the goal. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus will be what? The firstborn. What will you be? Secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. But all of them are born. I mean,
yes.
They will be all sons, full-grown sons.
Amen.
The seed that was planted was planted. And the Bible says, when you see the outcome, you may not recognize the seed that is born, that is planted, but all of them are the same. God will not accept anything less than what he planted.
Amen.
In your life, you will be like him.
Amen.
You will be like Christ.
Amen.
Full grown, mature,
Amen.
Standing for God, representing the interests of God.
It's a journey. A lifelong journey.
May we not come short of the expectation in the name of Jesus. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Do you know he is the one who called you? And somebody met me, then they witnessed to me, then I gave my life to Christ.
Ooh, so you gave your life to Christ.
No, it's the Holy Spirit that drew you. Pulled you. Opened your eyes.
I remember for many years, friends, cousins, my other brother would come and witness. I said, no, I'm not interested in all these people are talking.
In those days, it was not very popular to be born again. You either had to be frustrated, or somebody had jilted you, or life was miserable, and then you carry Bible. So many people saw me, what happened to you?
Something had to have happened to you. You failed an exam and you became desperate. So that is when you give your life to Christ.
I said, no. I had taken time and I realized that there was no running away. There was no escape. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth. I came to that conclusion, and from then on, many of them say, you, we know you. 6 months, you won't last. You will throw away the Bible. I said, is that so? They've been watching, and I must say they must have been disappointed. Because it's been over 40 years, and I have not thrown the Bible away.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. The justification process is going on. The transformation, cleansing, you know, perfecting. If you go to Isaiah 40, it says that which he is doing. The mountains are brought low. Things that speak of arrogance, pride, anything that is unbecoming of the name of God, it brings down. The valleys are exalted. You know, right living, right character, you know, humility, long suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, they are all exalted. The crooked made smooth, the rough made plain, that the glory of the Lord may be revealed, and all flesh may see it together. Oh, it's only God that sees me. God is seeing my heart. If he's seeing your heart, that which is in your heart will show outside. You get what I'm saying? Outside, I look terrible, but inside, I am really pure. No, the purity that is inside will translate to the outside. I am very rude outside, but inside, I am very pure. No, it doesn't work like that. The purity that is inside will eventually reflect. Hallelujah. So, he predestinated them, he called them, he justifies them. And whom he justified, what will happen to them? They are glorified.
Hallelujah.
To be glorified means to be made powerful, to be made like him. Jesus could not be ignored. People saw him and they said, this man is different. This man is unique. May they see the beauty of Christ in us, in the name of Jesus. So he glorifies. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Hallelujah. Now, living in the light of prophecy, there is something that God said. I want us to go to Malachi chapter 1. Tonight's ministration should not be too long. Somebody said we could go 3-4 hours. Should we give it a shot? even if you asked, I would not agree to that. It should not be too long. Tomorrow we will continue. Malachi. Chapter 1 says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau. I laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus said the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Hallelujah.
Amen. Jacob, I am loved. Esau, I am hated. Is a key principle, a key thought at this time. When God says, I have loved Jacob, I have hated Esau, what is he saying?
One of the things we need to pray for is what you find in Romans 12. Let us quickly look at that. Romans 12. Then we'll come back to this Malachi. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. The early part of verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the prayers we must pray at this time. Lord, renew my mind. Lord, renew my mind. I remind us again of that word that came, in your light we see light. Living in the light of prophecy. One of the prophecies is, I have loved Jacob. I have hated Esau. Who is Jacob? Jacob is a man whose mind has been transformed, has been renewed. Now, let me explain a little bit about natural Jacob. Natural Jacob was born at the same time with Esau. They were the two sons of Isaac. You know, and when they were to be born, there was a contest. And the Bible says their mother, you know, Rebecca, I'm sorry, their mother, I think, is Rebecca, went to God and said, God, what is going on inside me? And God said, two nations are in your womb, and two types of people, two lifestyles are to be brought forth out of you. And one lifestyle, one nation will serve the other. I'll go over that again. Two nations are inside you. Two lifestyles are inside you. One lifestyle will ultimately serve the other lifestyle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abraham, before he had his son, waited a long time. Is that not so? He began his walk with God when he was 75. He had, you know, Isaac when he became 100. Now, Isaac got married at the age of 40. Let me find out how good our mathematics would be. When Isaac was 40, how old was Abraham? Very fast. Now, at what age did Isaac give birth to Jacob and Esau? I want them to show how well versed they are in the scriptures. Now, at what age did Abraham die? Okay, I will help you. He died at the age of 175. So it means for about 15 years after Jacob and Esau had been born, they had the benefit of interaction with their grandfather, Abraham. Now let me ask you, do you think with the kind of experience Abraham had with God, that he would tell his grandchildren about the promises God made to him or not? So we take it that Abraham will have called Jacob and Esau and say, you guys, do you know what's going on? God met me. He promised me. He told me, you know, whoever I bless is blessed. Whoever I curse is cursed. In me shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Now, from the account that you read of the two of them, what do you think their responses were?
Jacob took it to heart.
Jacob took it to heart. Jacob was excited. You mean it? God met you. God spoke to you. God, you know, visited you. He promised you. Wow! I desire such an experience. I desire such a life. I desire such a visitation. What do you think Esau's response was? Yes. Grandpa has come again. All these long stories. God appeared. God came. God spoke. Who needs that? Someone. Again. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. A simple explanation of the ungodly is those who have no regard for God. Scorner, same thing. Bible, in 2019, with all the technology that is in the world, you still have time for this? Praise the Lord. So when God says, Esau I have hated, he is talking of a lifestyle, an orientation, a way of looking at things. As I move around, I hear of self-made men. The man who made himself. Have you seen a man who made himself before? Sat down, called the father and the mother, said, I'm going to make myself. I will come inside you. I will come out. Then when I come out, I will become whatever I want. Isn't that the definition of foolishness? For a man to tell himself, I made myself. The opportunities you had, did you make them for yourself? Where you were born, who gave birth to you? So, God says, Esau I have hated. I will lay his heritage to waste. Remember I said, part of the vision is the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith means the just will believe God. You know, the Bible says, don't allow yourself to be carried away by the success of the wicked. You look around you and you see a wicked man seemingly prospering, seemingly doing well. I have told you, there is a dispensation coming. There is the end of the dispensation of grace. In the coming age, anything that does not glorify God will be brought on its face. One of the things I tell people is, if the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, don't doubt it. You look around, as I look around, I see the failure of the systems of men. You know, democracy is being tested everywhere. You look at America, what is going on? Democracy is under judgment. You go to Britain, Brexit. Some voted for this, another voted for that. And 3 years after, they are still trying to explain or define or conclude something that happened at that time. So, if God says, I have judged the wisdom of man, Esau, I have judged. Now, when you look at Esau, was Esau the kind of person you could write off?
No.
Esau was a hard-driving man, a highly successful man. in his own way. He was a hunter. At that time, to be a hunter was the evidence of success. He would go out and kill animals, bring. The father liked him. You know, if you were to talk about even physical attraction, Esau physically looked more attractive. He was the kind of macho man that, you know, most people say, you know, swooning at the sight of him. Praise the Lord. But God said, I have looked at this man. He does not stand before me. Hallelujah. I have cast him aside. And then God said, Jacob, I have loved. Why did God love Jacob? God saw a desire for himself, a desire for God in his heart. He heard the grandfather speaking. He heard the father speak. Well, I'm not sure what Isaac really said much, because Isaac was taken with, his name, with Esau. Liked the meat, liked everything. But even somebody else writing, you know, one of the ministers that I've asked us to listen to, spoke about the foolishness and the wisdom of the type of lifestyles. Esau lived for the now. I am hungry. He goes out, runs around, catches the next goat meat or the next bush meat or whatever, kills and eats. After that, he doesn't know when the next one will come. And you look at the wisdom of God. Jacob in the house. What took Esau a long time going, roaming and all that? You know, Jacob was able to go to the back of the house, pick not one, but two. The mother said, go and pick two of the one you have in the house. It speaks about the provisions of God. It speaks about the grace of God that is available to us. That is, if I am going to succeed in life by my own effort, it will be a hard task. Oh, I know this man in this place. I know this connection. I will do this, I will do that. One of the things the Lord has been ministering to me is, when my grace comes upon your life will move from the natural to the supernatural. You didn't hear me.
Amen.
When my grace comes upon your natural, His grace is called super. When His grace that is super comes on the natural, what happens? You have the supernatural. Do you need the supernatural?
Yes.
Definitely. To survive in the world in which we are in, you need the supernatural. And grace provides the super on top of the natural.
Hallelujah.
That you can bring forth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to assure you, the Lord will help you.
Amen.
The Lord will help you. His grace will be sufficient for you.
Amen.
Men will look at your life and say, if it had not been the Lord that was on your side, the Lord will be on your side.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, Jacob, I have loved. Jacob took the things of God seriously. He desired it. He wasn't a perfect person. He was called the supplanter. God does not look at your initial imperfections, because He is working in you to will and to do. If He is working in you to will and to do, it means at the point He meets you, you have not fully willed to do yet. But He works in you to transform you, to cause you to be conformed, to be like His Son. It is a journey. That's the reason why Jesus spoke about the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold. You start from zero. You go to 30. It's like walking, you know, the river that flows. It flows to the ankle, to the knee, to the waist, and then completely overwhelms you. It is the way of God. It is the work of God. It is the Spirit of God taking over the life of an individual. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit totally take over your life. And work that which is glorious in the name of Jesus. The end of it, as either found in Isaiah 40 or Romans 8, it says, and glory comes. Glory is the end of the journey. The glory is God revealed. You know, God dwelling in man. And as you go, the power of God is in operation. You know, the same Romans, it says, creation is groaning, waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. And what are we doing? We also are groaning that we may shed this physical body that is subject to mortality and put on incorruption and immortality, sinlessness and deathlessness. You know, death comes by sin. So if sin is not dealt with, death will always be there. But when we are no longer capable of sinning, when the ability of sin has been taken away, then death is destroyed. You know, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ was, he said, the prince of this age comes. He has nothing in me. That is the end of the journey in view. The devil comes, hey, say, where are you coming? There is no investment here. I have totally been cleansed and purged of anything that speaks of death. Hallelujah. Jacob, I have loved. You look at Esau, despite everything the grandfather must have told him, when he wanted to marry, he went and married amongst the people of the land, despite knowing the parents were not happy. And then the account says, when he had lost the birthright, when the father had blessed, you know, Jacob, the father now called Jacob and said, hey, I don't want you to marry from amongst the people of the land. I'm speaking to you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I don't want you to marry from amongst the people of the land. You will go to your mother's kinsmen, who are effectively his own kinsmen as well, and take a wife. The account says, when Esau heard that, he now decided, okay, you don't want me to marry from amongst these people, I will actually go and take one of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Love not the world. Don't think the way the world thinks. Let the Holy Spirit fill your heart. Let him fill your mind. You know, we came from the UK, coming here. About a little over a week ago, we had a weekend meeting similar to this, somewhere called Milton Keynes in the UK. And for that weekend, what the Lord laid upon my heart to share with the brethren there is the good wine. The good wine. He has kept the best for last. And traditionally, everybody assumes that, okay, he's speaking about wine to drink. But really, you are the wine. Hallelujah. What does wine do? Wine gladdens the heart. Wine causes joy and gladness, and God has kept the best for last. He has kept you for this time. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. You are Mount Zion, the city of the great King. God dwells in you. He lives in you. He rules in you. He is walking. A joy of the whole heart. As you move around, his glory is there. So, don't let anybody tell you you are less than who you are. Hallelujah. The devil can come at times and say, it's not you they were talking to. You know, they were talking to other people. You just happen to have been among them. No, I am one of them. There's an election upon my life. And that which is his will be done in me, in the name of Jesus. I want us to just quickly look at 1 Corinthians 4, because there you have reference as well. So, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4. verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let us be seen as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. People unto whom the secrets of God are revealed. Jesus was asked, why is it that you speak to the people in parables? Why are you always speaking to them in parables, things they will not understand? And Jesus said, unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of God, but unto them it is not given. So that seeing they will not see, hearing they will not hear. Their heart is waxed gross, hard. But blessed be your eyes, for they see. I want you to say that. Blessed be my eyes, for they see. Blessed be my ears, for they hear. Blessed be my heart, for they understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. May we be found faithful. In the name of Jesus. May the things of God appeal to us. May we not be like Esau, who for a temporary, you know, help. The Bible says there was a particular day a young man came to Jesus and said, I'm a good man, but I just want confirmation from you. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, is that so? That's my own translation. You're a good man. But in case I don't have the full picture, because people have been talking about you, that you are a man from God. What do I need to do to have everlasting life? And Jesus, knowing where he was coming from, said, well, you appear to have read the scriptures. What does the scripture say? So, well, it says, I should not kill, I should not steal, I should not do this, I should not do that. And Jesus said, okay, so how do you relate to that? Oh, all those ones I have kept from the very day I was born. All of them. I have kept all of them. Jesus said, is that so? Beautiful. I like what I'm hearing. There's just one thing you have not done. Take everything you have, sell them, and give to the poor, and come and follow me. I'm sure the man was saying, sorry, sir, what did you just say now? And I assure you, he was not the only one listening. Even Peter and the others too were, sell all you have and follow you. The man said, Now, that is the thing. What Jesus was telling him was the first commandment. You shall have no other God beside me. His money was his God. His resources were his God. His trust was in his money. So, sell all you have. So, living in the light of prophecy, if there's nothing you are about tonight, take that home. Sell all you have and follow me, is the word of God. As young men, the Bible teaches the principle, seek ye what?
First.
Second or third?
First.
What does that mean? Does anything else come before it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Another way of putting it is, seek the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things, and everything shall be added. The man left. He was disappointed. I thought this man was serious. What he's talking is, I should go and sell everything. I don't want to sell everything. But were there people with him who had sold everything? Peter walked up to him and said, "We have left all to follow you." What am I saying? Living in the light of prophecy. In your light, we see light. The journey for you young men will begin from what perspective? You must sell all to follow him. What does it mean to sell all? God will have first call in your life. First call means where he wants you to walk, you will walk. Where he wants you to live, you will live. Who he wants you to marry, you will marry. The moment you have a choice, this is the person I want to marry, this is the place I want to live, this is the work I want to do, then you have not left all. And he will bring you to where you will live all.
Amen.
I like that. That's the right spirit. Ah, no, don't bring me to where he will bring you.
Amen.
Remember we said you are not your own idea. Neither were you your parents' idea. You are his idea. He brought you. And he will bring you to where you will live all. But the beautiful thing, which I like to preach also, is when Peter said, "We have left all to follow you," was there a response?
Yes.
What was the response? As many as have left father, mother, brother, sister, for the cause of the kingdom in this life shall have what? A hundredfold. You know, there was a statement God made speaking through Moses to Israel. God said, "These past 40 years, I have tried you. I have tested you to know what was in your heart." Jacob was ready to pay the price. He desired the birthright. You know, we've accused him. He was a supplanter. He was a dribbler. He was a cheat. I see what is right in his heart. The parents told him, "Don't marry wrongly." He did not marry wrongly. They told him, "Go to a specific place, go and find a wife." He was obedient. Even when he told the father the story of, you know, "I am your son, your firstborn." It was as instructed by, I don't want to get into the story. But even the mother said, "Let the curse be on me." I might be tempted to think in that particular situation, the mother was more spiritual than the man. The man had lost his eyes. He was not seeing. They are all figurative. This there is a message.
Glory, hallelujah.
The man was blind. He had been blinded by the meat he had been eating. The thing was so sweet, he had lost the vision. Because he should never have asked that question. He should never have told Esau, "Go and bring me so that I can bless you." He should have known that Esau has sold his birthright and there should not have been any issue. Say, "Sorry, you have done so. Continue the life you are living." But remember, Malachi said, "I will make his, you know, I will destroy." God is against such a lifestyle, an orientation. An orientation that puts God second. Anyway, we will be addressing it subsequently in the faithful priesthood. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us. You know, so Jesus said, "Okay, Peter, you have left all to follow me. What did you leave anyway? That's your boat that you will take and spend hours all through the night and catch nothing. That is the one you are telling me you left all to follow me. What did you leave? Well, Jesus didn't go that way. Whatever you left in this life. I am one of those who believe strongly in it, and I preach it very much. If you live all, living in the light of prophecy, in your light we see light. If you've left all, then in this life, you will have a hundredfold, although with persecution. So, Lord, let the hundredfold come. Leave the persecution. It's a total package. And in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. It is important. Lord, what are the things that are written? You know, another place that I will have made reference to what we read in Psalm 48 is in Micah 4. Maybe we might look at it again. You know, it says, let's just quickly look and we'll round up there. Micah chapter 4. Living in the light of prophecy under faithful priesthood. We'll just quickly read. It says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain that is the house of the Lord shall be what? Where?
In the top of the mountains.
And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Now let me ask you, who or what is the mountain that is the house of the Lord? Hello? Where are they?
Here.
You are the mountain. You are the house of the Lord. What did he say will happen to you? Established in the mountains and exalted above the hills. Now, my way of interpreting that is the hills speak of what you can attain by human effort. And what is your destiny or your destination? Established, exalted above what man can do. That is the word of the Lord for those of us on the earth at this time. Those of us in this calling. Hallelujah. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. He will have so taught you. Men will see you and say, we perceive, we can see that God is with you. Tell us, share with us, how do we find him? It happens to me on a regular basis. Now, I meet people, I talk to people, I share experiences. People have issues, challenges. I pray with them regularly. So, I am not telling you a story. This is not, I've not come this weekend to preach a nice sermon. I'm telling you a lifestyle. Jacob, I have loved. If you start by loving the Lord, caring, you are hearing things, immortality, incorruptibility, coming forth in the image of Christ, being conformed to be like Christ, reaching perfection, and you desire it, you pray for it. Lord, turn my life. Do this, do that in me. You have not believed a lie. It will come to pass.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion
and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I think we can round up here today, so that we don't say too many things and we lose sight of some of the key things that have been said. Let us bow our heads as we begin to talk to the Lord, living in the light of prophecy, aspiring, desiring. The Bible says, as many as God foreknew, He predestinated. He knew. So, there is a predestination. Those predestinated